I think certainly the tolerability toxicity findings of that study are going to be fascinating. And again, you know, ever since we first heard about carfilzomib, we've heard about dyspnea, we've had cardiac dysfunction. I still am trying to clarify in my mind what really is going on and how that even compares to bortezomib. Right now, how do you see that?
So I think it's quite possible that it's gotten maybe more press than it deserves. That's quite possible. Especially with cardiac toxicities, it's something that sticks to your mind, right? You see one and you'll remember that. And especially in the general community oncology practice, cardiac toxicity is something that everybody dreads. So you see one and then you fear about using the drug again. If you look at the randomized trials, in the ASPIRE trial, there was no real difference between KRD and RD arms. The ENDEAVOR trial, there was clearly hypertension, there was some renal signal. So it seems like there is some vascular toxicity or endothelial toxicity that happens with this drug. I don't know if it is necessarily a very common phenomenon, and I think it can be very easily managed by being careful about what kind of patients you put on the trial, how closely you monitor the blood pressure, the fluid status, and so forth. The Italians actually showed that when you monitor the patients very carefully and control their blood pressure before going on the treatment, your risk of cardiac toxicity is actually much lower.
That's interesting. So just controlling their baseline hypertension, do you see hypertension because of carfilzomib?
We do see that hypertension secondary to carfilzomib. So we do see a transient increase in the creatinine in some of these patients, some elevation of blood pressure and cardiac toxicity in a small number of patients. This feeling of shortness of breath is something that patients commonly talk about. You know, the confusion always had been that originally when we started using carfilzomib, there was concern about the tumor lysis, renal toxicity, and we all recommended that you use a lot of fluids before and after. I have a feeling that we may have pushed that a little too much. And I think being more judicious about the fluid use, maybe less is better in this particular setting. I think that really helps. Maybe using only for the initial infusions and not using it subsequently can make a difference.
Another issue with carfilzomib has been the schedule, which is pretty inconvenient, but we've also started to see some data using it weekly. What do you think about that, and do you use that strategy?
So the weekly, you know, it certainly seems to be effective. The concern I have is when you go up to the 70 milligram per meter squared dose on the weekly basis, you do see a toxicity signal I worry about, especially in the older patients. I don't have any problems using maybe up to 56 milligram per meter square in the weekly schedule, but it certainly the weekly schedule is going to make the drug more convenient for the patients.